"Is Brummen your da?" asked Saski. "Nay, me da's dead. Mumma too. Brummen's the tinker. We pass this way every year or so. Camp on the moor a while. Move on. Maybe you saw us come through your village about a senate ago. Old two-wheeled cart with a raggedy hood, pony and warrior in front, me and the goats behind. We need no tinker in Torskal. My da does all the smithing hereabouts. I know that. So does Brummen. No matter. He can make boots and shoes and saddles and harness and gloves and dagger sheaths and locks and leathern boxes. But who'd hire such skills?" said Saski, round-eyed. The chill mists were swirling around them suddenly, the next thing to rain. She pulled up her hood and rose. "I've all my tasks to do yet," she said. "I'll be going."
"But maybe soon be climbing up again?"
"Maybe. I'm here about most days, with the goats. I could play me pipes for you." He produced from his ragged tunic a longish shepherd's pipe made of a reed, and a shorter one whittled from a willow twig.
"Or juggle!"
He stuffed the pipes away, snatched up a handful of pebbles, and set them flying up in front of him, changing their pattern from circle to up and down to an arc over his head, while Saski watched, astonished.
"Eh, but that's wizardly!" she exclaimed.
Meanwhile, May was passing, and the moor was dressing itself in wildflowers, and Tam was far away on top of the world, no doubt fluting and juggling all by himself. Saski stretched an arm to its longest, tugged the bundle into reach, and began to lay back its coverings, sneezing from the dust. Inside the fleece was some other kind of sheep hide pouch, empty and flat, but feeling still supple under an exploring finger, and on top of it, indeed attached to it, she could see now, were several long, thin, gangly, jointed, black, nickel-trimmed, ivory-capped, tubular, tasseled. It was a set of bagpipes. Joy swept like a gale through Saski. Breathless and bubble-light, she pounced on the pipes and scrambled backward along the loft, dragging them with her, heedless of the baskets she upset or the clatter she made. Her hands found the chanter and her fingers the holes along its side with only a little fumbling, and settled into a position they already knew. Then the shrill, shrieking cry of the chanter shattered the quiet of the afternoon, running up and down and around the scale in a wild little air, soon accompanied, as the drones warmed up, by a three-voiced groaning, high and low, on a single sonorous note. The tune hadn't ended before it swerved into another, more frenzied and clamorous than the first, which rollicked and frolicked around the little house and out over the village with a noise to wake the dead.